Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee, Bill McMillan Sr., and Anime, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ through the power of testimony, to provoke you to find your calling in the Lord. As it says in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. This podcast is brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on this journey to reach the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. We pray you enjoy the podcast, and it blesses and encourages you, and may you grow in His Word and Spirit.
Welcome to Crosstalk. We're excited to have with us tonight Dave Branton. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you so much, guys. It's really a privilege to be here with you guys tonight.
Amen. We're
excited to have you, and Bill's going to open up with the first question to you.
All right, here's the question. When and where did you get saved?
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Again, I'm it's a privilege to be here. I got the opportunity to listen to some of these on Spotify earlier today. I listened to a few. I'm not normally a podcast guy, but it really is a blessing to hear people's testimonies and what the Lord's done for them. And it's a privilege to be here tonight and with Uncle Bill. You know, he's a guy to me. You know, I remember him witnessing and ministering to me years ago in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. He had meetings in a wee church, and I know how important he's been to the kingdom and amongst his people in this town. So it really is an honor for me to be here with you guys and doing this podcast. Amen. But to answer your question, when and where did you get saved? I got saved. I had the privilege of growing up in a home and being brought to church by my parents, you know. Amen. One thing I have to say is that when you have a good mother and father that bring you up in the things of God, that don't tolerate wrong, there's a line in the sand, and you know, and I thank God for never being allowed to get away with certain things. Amen. My mother was the one that led me to the Lord, and she has an interesting way of witnessing to people. She don't ask them if you know God or if you know Jesus. She asks people, do you know the plan of salvation, you know?
Amen.
Or the path of salvation. Amen. And a lot of people kind of get thrown off by it. Like, no, what does that mean? And they'll give her an opportunity to explain Amen. Jesus Christ to them and Christ crucified. But I remember I might have been 9 or 10 years old. I don't remember exactly. I was living in Richmond, Virginia. And my mother told me about the plan of salvation and led me to the Lord at a very young age. And I thank God for that. Growed up in church most of my life, and always, it was never an option when I was at home. And even after I got married, it almost wasn't an option either, Amen. You know.
Amen.
But I thank God for that. But that's when I got saved. I believe I was 9 years old in Richmond, Virginia. And I remember getting baptized by my Uncle Benny Brand. I got to give him a shout out, you know.
Amen.
He baptized me. He had a little pool behind his house on a park in Richmond, Virginia, and that's where I got baptized. Me and a whole bunch of us got baptized there at the same time. So,
beautiful.
Yeah, it's a wonderful story.
I like plan of salvation because you can ask somebody, do you know Jesus? And it's kind of like a universal question. I don't mean to put him in the same category as like Elvis, but it's like, you understand, know of him, but not know him personally. So the plan of salvation makes it personal.
Amen. Well, you know, Jesus divided time. You know, he's the most written about and talked about historical figure. If you just looked at him as a historical figure, you know, there's never been anybody that's been talked about or discussed more than Christ. So it is a kind of a, you know, a general vague question. Do you know Jesus or do you know God? I like to ask people if they're born again.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Say, are you born again? And they kind of give you like a look, you know, and I'll say, well, John 3:3 tells us, unless a man is born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. And then from there, you know, it'll open up a door you just catch people off guard from the same normal thing over and over again.
That's,
and
I really like that.
And I believe it's an effective witness. You
it
know?
Is. So we're going to jump to our next question for you. How did you get in the ministry, or how did you feel called to serve the Lord?
So, you know, for me, getting involved in ministry, the one thing I can say is thank God for our churches and our towns where people give you an opportunity to get involved in ministry.
Amen.
You know, I was raised in Baltimore, Maryland, 25 years underneath Pastor Ernie and Joan. I think it's 26 years maybe by now. And growing up in their church, Sunday school. It might even be 30 years when I think back, 42 years old. I think it's over 30 years they've had the doors open there. And I always say the same thing. Every year I leave, I'll go to Florida or I'll go to Phoenix and it gets cold. And, you know, every spring the doors are open, church service is going. And since I've been involved in ministry, they always, hey, you know, glad to have you back. And you want to get up and do Thursday night or Sunday night, you know, and it's good to have. It's so important. You know, Henry Keith preached. It's February 28th, the day he preached Sunday night, and he talked about how much he said, a lot of people don't like traveler ministries, but he said, it's a shame because we love you.
Amen. Yeah, it was good.
And it's the truth that ministered to me because we do love each and everybody that's there. There's a lot of people in this town and in Baltimore and Delaware and different towns that don't attend our churches. And we love them all. You know, it's nothing personal. We want you to come. So
why else would people want to be in ministry with our people if it wasn't to love them? Yes.
Well, you know, my sister Bessie taught me the one time. She said, go throughout the Bible. She said, anytime the Lord raised someone up, he always raised them up out of their own people. You know, he raised up Esther to deliver the Jews. He raised up Moses to go back to the Israelites. And he always raised up his own. And listen, you know, the good sower sows his seed in his field, but sometimes it'll fall in the neighbor's field. So I love witnessing to country people alike.
Absolutely.
But to me, I just feel like I can relate and communicate with our own people a lot better, you know.
Well, even when Jesus came, he came for the Jews.
Amen.
See, he came. He was sowing that field.
Amen.
Because when he came for his own.
Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. And Uncle Bill, you know, he's been at it for a long time. And, you know, he told me the story the other day how it was Aunt Margaret that kind of led him into ministry and seen how, you know, in Houston, Texas.
You better believe it.
Dave, I think that we have with our churches that our people can have. That they can, and the people's lovely because we was all, that's the churches I went to.
Yes.
And growed in. And if it wasn't for the wonderful men and women that were country people of God, I'd be probably going to hell. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But now that we get saved, what's the next step? We got to grow. And for us, our lifestyle, the way we're here 3 months, six, some a year, whatever, but it's a place and where you can come. And just when you, like you said, when you go back, you're up the next Thursday.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through the red tape of the other way. You know what I mean? And that's what's for our church.
But going back to the original question, how did you get into ministry or how did you feel called to serve God? So after I got saved, I grew up, you know, thank God, 9 or 10 years old, got saved, grew up in church. And I remember I was 16 years old. A little different experience I had, kind of making a decision as more of an adult. I still wasn't an adult, but I had a little more understanding. I remember in the late 90s, Tom Hicks had revivals all up and down the East Coast for a couple of years. He had an unbelievable outpouring. And a lot of people, I'm 42 years old, a lot of people my age remember them. And I remember his first one, we was there. We didn't really know what was going on. We just went to Richmond. It was in Richmond, Virginia. And they had a service there, and the Burden Lifters was there. They was playing all the old Willie Small songs. And the Spirit of God was so strong, and so many young people was just, you know, really moving on a fire for God. Amen. But I remember at that meeting, I remember they had a prayer line, the altar call. It went from, you know, the altar all the way to the back doors of this little church in Richmond.
Amen.
And I remember going up and getting prayer and being prayed for and making another decision to accept Jesus as my Savior. Not that, you know, what I did at 9 or 10 didn't count, but I almost reaffirmed it at an older age. And at that time, I remember being prayed for and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it was something that took, you know, my relationship to an even closer and a bolder relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let me ask you this. How important do you think having your wife support you in your ministry, for your wife to back you?
Well, if it was for me, I wouldn't be in ministry if it wasn't for my wife. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. I remember the first time someone brought it up to me about being in ministry, and they said, it was my mother. It was after I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I kind of got a little rebellious, and I was about 17 years old, and I picked up smoking cigarettes, you know. And my mother, she looked at me, she said, "Son, you're 17, you know, you're not trying to fit in. You're well, like, what are you doing? You know, like, this is," and I said, "What are you talking about, Mom?" You know, but I denied it.
Yeah.
And she said, "You'll never be used in the ministry if you get addicted to this. It's going to be something that's going to keep you from being involved in ministry." And at the time, you know, I didn't even consider being used in, I love the Lord, but ministry was so far, but she sowed that seed into my heart at that time at a young age. And it made it to where like it made it as a, there's a possibility for this, you know?
Yeah.
And I thank God as I grew older, I got married and my wife and I got married. Thank God for my wife. She supported my ministry from the very beginning.
Amen.
Started to be used in the men's meetings with Dave Reed and Tony at men's meetings in Baltimore. And they would ask me to, like, you know, open up and or MC or, you know, something that was very, you know, just to try to get me involved. So I give them a lot of, you know, appreciation for opening the door for me to be used. And I remember I got another opportunity to preach the gospel and I was kind of on the fence about it. And I knew that if I was to, it was in 2008, and I said, if I do this, there'll be certain sacrifices that my family will have to make. And I didn't feel comfortable. And I was conflicted. I knew that the Lord had a calling on my life, but I remember talking to my wife. She said, "You should do this." I said, "Well, that means that there's things that we're not going to be allowed to do." And she said, "Whatever it is, the kingdom of God is way more important than all these silly things."
Amen.
And I was on a fence about it. You know, I was like, should I or not? And when she, you know, give me that, you know, she had my support.
Yeah.
I filled out the application and I sent it in. And thank God I've been in ministry now 15 years, I guess, since 2008. And it's been a blessing. The Lord's given me opportunities to preach in different churches and different towns and see people get saved and pray with young people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, to answer your question, I would not be in ministry if my wife didn't support me.
Amen.
And even though herself personally doesn't have like a ministry in the church, I remember in this town years ago, before even the Wee Church was, the old church was here, Angus Keith would have youth meetings.
And, always.
Mm-hmm. And there was like 30 or 40 kids that would go. And I remember my wife would sing at them, you know, at 15, 16. And at the time, it's a, you know, it's a scary thing to do. And so I thank God she's always been a part of my ministry and she's always been faithful to serve. And again, if it wasn't for my mother encouraging me in the things of God and my wife pushing me, you know, saying that, women, if you're listening to this, I don't know if you're old or you're young, it's so important to raise your kid. Bring your kids to church. If you're living in Phoenix, bring them to this church. We love them. We want them to come and we want them to grow. Even if you're conflicted about it, even if you don't really care for this preacher, you don't like this one or that one, bring them to the house of God. It's so important.
Amen.
I've seen my wee girls learn so much in the back room and the women that do the nursery. My Brooklyn right now, she loves it, you know, so I'm very blessed to be a part of this ministry for the few months that I'm here. I really feel like a second home.
I want to add something there too about your baby girl. She blesses me. Amen. It just seems like you are always sitting around us somewhere on Sunday, and she's, her wee hands is up and her eyes is closed and she's singing every word. She's not playing with her phone. She's not sitting cracking to all the wee kids around her. She's worshiping. And that blesses me. It does. And I think to myself when I look at her, and she goes down to the altar of, you know, I watch things like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think she's a chip off the old block.
Well, she blesses me. We're very proud of her.
She does.
You know, even my older girls is the same. Thank God that. And it was funny because when I was a wee kid, we was in church in Richmond. Mom would take us to church every Sunday morning. And we was that old Holy Ghost Pentecostal church. I mean, it was the old, it was part of full gospel at the time. They sung about 7 songs and they preached for about an hour and a half.
That's right.
And I remember as a wee boy, I was made stand through all of them. You remember them old songs, shake off those heavy hands and lift up. And we would all do the things. And I remember as a wee boy, I hated to do it. But years later, all the songs, they all come from the Word of God. Yeah. And as an adult, I started studying my Word, and they all come back to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember a song in the Book of Psalms, My Soul Escaped Like a Bird Out of the Snare of the Fowler. And that was a song. We would sing it in church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And when I read that, I don't remember what psalm it is, but it's a song. And when I read it, I sung it repetitively and didn't know what it meant. And even when I read it, I didn't understand. I had to sit down and read it to understand that my soul was trapped by the enemy. It was in the net and it was done. But then God redeemed me. Amen. My soul escaped like a bird. Amen. And it really did. But those songs, and even the songs today, that my heart breaks when I don't get on time for church to be here for song service, you know? So if you're in Phoenix and you come here, be on time, enter into worship, bring your kids, because the work that they're doing in the kids' room and work John Al, is doing the youth meetings here, and my kids has received from that. I've definitely been a beneficiary of the labor that the people of this town's done. So I thank God for it.
Well, on your last question that they asked you about how important is it for a wife, and you were talking, what come to me is the scripture, Amos 3:3. How can two walk together unless they agree? Mm-hmm. And in anybody's ministry, husband or wife,
they can't.
Unless you're together.
Amen.
It's a failure.
That's right.
Let's be honest.
You know, and I don't know how many people listen to this, or if young people listen to this, then you really need to consider that as a young person. You need to make sure that you're evenly yoked with someone, you know,
Amen.
And your goals is the same, and you want to serve God and you want to serve the kingdom. So absolutely. But no, I thank God that having a wife support my ministry, I promise you I wouldn't have filled out the application to become a licensed
something.
Minister if my wife didn't stand behind me. I didn't even really ask her. She brought it up to me, and then that gave me the encouragement. So it could have just as easily been her in the flesh saying, no, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, and get deterred and just live my life and not be involved in the things of God,
Amen.
Which would have been what the enemy would have loved to have, you know.
Amen, amen. Amen.
Do you have some standout moments in your ministry you'd like to share, or a major influence? Things you want to share about your ministry.
So I had a lot of people influence me in my life. Most of them were women. Like I said, my mother really influenced me. My older sister, Bessie, is probably the person that I know that knows more about the Word than anybody. We all kind of go back to her. We're all very proud of her and the work that the Lord's done through
Amen.
Her. So she's been a major influence on my life. But, you know, when I was a young man, I was about 23 years old. Dave Reed, Reverend or Pastor David Reed, he got a hold of me the one day we went to eat, and he said, what are you doing in church? Why aren't you being used? You know, and I thank God he was bold and direct about it. And I was like, I don't even know you that well. You know, what are you talking to me like this for? But, you know, I learned later on that the people that's bold, that's willing to call you out on your nonsense when they know that there's something, those is the friends that you can't pay for, you know. I love when someone, you know, so the Book of Proverbs is better harsh words from a brother than kisses from an enemy, you know. So we thank God for those people. And I've had different people in my life that's called me out when I knew I was wrong and didn't want to hear it. And it's like my sister Bessie told me, she said, it's like sandpaper. You know, and it just, and it hurts, but you know, what does it do? It refines and it makes things smooth. But no, to say there's one person on top of just my immediate family, I'd have to say Dave Reed encouraged me more in ministry than anybody else, you know. And another person too, I'd like to mention, you know, like Pastor Charlie's been involved in my life since I was 17 or 18 years old, since the old church, you know, so I thank God for that. But I remember one day, there was a men's revival going on in Baltimore. I remember Pastor John Keith come in and preached one of the services. He preached it a few different times. I don't remember what year it was. But I was very young in ministry. And it was just by chance. I seen him. We was all together. And he said, hop in with me. I don't know where I'm going. Drive me around. So I drove him around. And we went to the lunch. And we went with everybody. But it was just me and him. And I think the two twins was we boys in the back of the car. And I just drove around and I basically just asked him questions all day long, you know, and he poured into me so many different things. And he probably don't even remember it, but I just listened to everything he had to say. And he talked about how to write a sermon and how to, talk about different things. Yeah. But the best thing he ever told me was, he said, it was that day, I never forgot it. He said, whatever you do, don't just leave them with the problem. You got to tell them. Everyone wants to say he uses horrible and uses heathens. And, most of us are. We all deserve it. But he said, give them the problem, but give them the solution. Amen. Amen. And I never forgot that. My Uncle Benny taught me so many different things about how to prepare a message and how to open and close. So there's a lot of people that I have to give credit for. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Praise God.
That's a goal for all of us, to be an influencer in the right direction.
That's right.
So what would you say, what's your vision for our people in the future?
Wow. So, I think that our people's in good hands, to be honest with you. I see the guys that I remember thinking, like, I was a young guy, and then I've watched myself kind of mature in Christ, and now I realize I'm still so young, and I see people that's a little older than I am, and they're the next step, the Carlos and Baby Bill and the guys that's that age group. You got Pastor Charlie. So, and then there'll be my age, the 40-year-old, group. And there's a few of us that's preaching the gospel between me and some of the guys that's in here. And then I see a burning amongst the youth right now. Amen. So, what's my vision for our people? I looked at these questions. I really didn't write anything down, but this one here, a scripture come to my heart here as I was looking at this. And the only thing that I would love to see of our people is in 2 Peter 3:18, and it's a really powerful verse. And Peter decided to close the chapter, the second epistle, the last real thing that he wrote that was in the Bible. He said, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So if I could say anything that I would love to see our people doing is growing. And I love how God put it here. He said, grow in grace, then knowledge.
Yes.
We like to kind of do the other way around.
That's good.
But if we grow in grace and we are able to extend grace to people and receive it from God and show mercy to people, and then grow in knowledge of the Lord. And things like this, what we're doing here, like, would you have thought anything like this 20 years ago? He was going to be doing podcasts or people would be on Apple Music. So we are growing and we are able to reach all of our people. And that's what I would like to see. Amen.
I think we are seeing it.
I think we are.
I think we see it process moving faster right now because of the time limit that the Lord's moving in the world right now. And I think I see in our youth and everybody, people comes in, shares with one another. I see it moving tremendously in the direction that the Lord wants it, and He is moving it. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, before we wrap it up, Dave, is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
Well, we talked about it before, this one question you asked me, did anyone really influence you in your life? And before I wrapped up, I was thinking about this and what the Lord would have me share before we closed up. But I thought about the Great Commission. Amen. The Great Commission. And it's a pretty general statement of basically us to go out and reach the lost. Amen. And that's what we want to do. But the Great Commission, I believe, is found in three different scriptures in the Bible. I'm going to read them if you don't mind. I don't want to butcher them. I kind of wrote some notes down. But it's in three different parts of the Bible, and it's written in, it's funny that it's written in a few different ways, but I'm going to read them to you. The first part of the Great Commission I find is in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, and it's in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them. Talking about the disciples here. It was Jesus and his disciples that he was with. And it says, Jesus spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm. So that's the first part. The first part of the Great Commission, Jesus is speaking to the 11 because Judas was gone at the time. So Jesus speaking to the disciples, first thing he says was go and make disciples. Mm-hmm. The second part of the Great Commission is in Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, he being Jesus, them being the disciples, go into all the world preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So that's the second part of the Great Commission. He tells his disciples first to make disciples, and then he tells his disciples second to preach the gospel. The third part of the Great Commission, and I know we're getting kind of long here, I want to share this, is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it's Jesus, if you don't know the context, Jesus here is going out to the Mount of Olives, getting ready to ascend up to the Father in heaven. Acts 1, verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth." And it's important, the Lord showed me this a few years back, to see what he's trying to say here. He's talking to his disciples, he's saying, go make more disciples. So in order to make disciples, we must first be a disciple. Then he looked at his disciples and said, go preach the gospel to all the nations. And any of those who believe will be saved, and those who will not will be condemned. So in order to preach the gospel, we should be disciples as well. I don't think that someone should take the opportunity to get up and preach a message to a congregation of people if they're not first properly trained in the Word of God. I do believe that when we get saved, we have an obligation to tell people about it. But on the sermon that he was telling in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Bible says there's 500 people followed him up. They wasn't disciples. They were just believers. They were just lay people. They were just average guys. And when he went up to heaven, what did he tell him? He said, go be witnesses.
Amen.
You know, not everyone can preach. And not everybody, you know, like these people that I've mentioned that influenced me, they were disciples and they discipled me. Right. We can't have people that don't have an understanding of the word discipling people, because what does the Bible say? The blind lead the blind into a ditch, you know.
Amen.
But what does he say when you first get saved? You might not understand the word of God. You might not know one or two scriptures, but you can be a witness. Amen. What does a witness do? They're not an expert. What are they? They're just telling you what they know firsthand. Yeah. I remember young Bill McMillan looked at me years ago. I remember he said it to me. He said, you know what happened? He said, I'll tell you the miracle. Me, he said, I was once going to hell and now I'm not.
Amen.
Amen. So if you're listening today and you don't feel like you can be a preacher, you don't be a, maybe you can. I don't know. God's called some to preach and some not. We can all be witnesses. We're all obligated to be a witness to say, you know something, Jesus saved my soul, or Jesus healed my girl, or Jesus put my marriage together that wasn't. So in closing, that's what I would say. Make sure that we have all parts of the Great Commission, and disciples are involved, and just average churchgoers are involved. And if you can't preach, and if you're not up, you know, if you can get someone and be a disciple to them, you should do that. And if not, just be a witness to someone and say, you know something,
praise
Jesus
God.
Is real, and he's changed my life, and I've got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen.
Amen.
So that's what I would want to close with. Amen.
Amen. Well, with that, we want to thank you for coming on, Dave, and taking the time and for praying for us and everything, supporting us in it. And
listen,
we appreciate you, and we appreciate you when you're here. We feel like you're family and a part of the church.
Well, you know, we feel the same way. My girls, my wife, all of us, we can't thank you enough that we're able to come here. And, you know, I know in the summertime, a lot of people leave and it gets hot and you get kind of discouraged, you know. But listen, we all need you guys. When I come back, make sure keep on keeping on, you know. My girls need it and their family, you know. So let's just keep this thing rolling as long as we can.
We take a siesta in the summer.
You come and visit us.
Yeah,
in the
we come
That's
visit
right.
you.
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate
you. Thank you, guys.
And let me ask you this, Dave. Now, it all has been wonderful and a blessing. Who taught you the barbecue? He brought me a pack of ribs the other night, and it's got to be from heaven.
He definitely didn't play around with them either. He started going. He didn't even wait for me to leave, you know. But
there's nothing left. Shiny white.
That was my wife. I kind of took credit for that. But I got to come clean here because we're on the air. We're in the church. You nailed me with that one, you know.
It's miracles, and he add those to the shiny bone.
Shiny white bone.
You can do that with dentures, you know.
Praise God. Guys.
All right.
Amen.
God bless.
All right. Thanks again.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. We hope you enjoyed it and was encouraged. Please follow us on Spotify for new episodes every week. If you download the Spotify app, which is free, it makes it much easier to find us. We'll be posting the link each week on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may you grow in His Word and Spirit. God bless.